I'm so thankful for this privilege God has given me. And it's an honor to speak for the Lord, to bring the message to his people. Actually, I'm so thankful for your prayers during my still sick. I'm still undergoing my chemotherapy. Actually, my doctor said to me last Monday, you still have one cycle. It means 6 more Mondays to go. And I hope that the Lord will give me his healing touch. Amen. I know the Lord is using me. He would like to use me in his service. And I'm so thankful for this time that I can bring the message from the Lord. Shall we have a word of prayer, please? Dear God and Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you are always with us. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable unto thy sight, my Lord, my God, and my Redeemer. Amen. I'd like to present to you this topic, although this is a very hard topic to discuss. Christ's robe or mine? I know you have already your decision that you would like to wear the robe of Christ, the same as with me. But the question is, how can I wear Christ's robe? Actually, no one will enter heaven without the robe of Christ. And this is the thing which I thought to bring this to the people of the Lord. This text from Christ our righteousness. The enemy of men and God is not willing that this truth, righteousness by faith, should be clearly presented. For he knows that if the people receive it fully, his power will be broken. If he can control minds, so that doubt and unbelief and darkness shall compose the experience of those who claim to be the children of God, he can overcome them with temptation. Even some Adventists is still thinking how the Ten Commandments, how I can follow and obey the Ten Commandments will help me to save in the kingdom of God. But to us who know the truth, obeying the Ten Commandments will not help us in the salvation of ourselves. But following the Ten Commandments is a must to each people of God. How? According to John 14:15, if you love me, what's the next? Keep my commandments. Following the Ten Commandments is a reflection of our love to God. And later on, you will notice a statement before we end this presentation. Christ, our righteousness again, from Gospel Workers, no one has said that we shall find perfection in any man's investigations. But this I know, that our churches are dying for the want of teaching on the subject of righteousness by faith in Christ and of kindred truths. That's the reason why this topic is a must to the people of God. people of God are dying because of the lack of knowledge on this topic, righteousness by faith. With our special text of key text this morning, actually, this is the same text last Sabbath. Remember? Pastor Gomez used this text. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. I'd like to give emphasis on this text with this illustration. What is justification by faith? It is the work of God in laying the glory of man in the dust and doing for man that which is not in his power to do for himself. Being justified is not our work. It is the work of God by faith. Everything is by faith. The righteousness by which we are justified is imputed. The righteousness by which we are sanctified is imparted. The first is our title to heaven. The second is our fitness for heaven. I'd like to give the meaning of imputed and imparted. Two kinds of righteousness. The righteousness by which we are justified is imputed. The righteousness by which we are sanctified is imparted. Again, the first is our title to heaven. The second is our fitness for heaven. Two things. Two kinds of righteousness of Christ. Again, with our key text. That I have already attained, or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Okay, look at this chart. We have this. The line of man's degradation and the line of Christian growth. According to this text, I had not already attained, or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. This is a combination of justification and sanctification. I had not already attained. I'm still here, I'm still human. I'm still flesh. I'm still sinning. Or I am perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. This is what it means. Forgetting those things behind. We started here going down sinning, this is the line of man's degradation. But we met Jesus here. It's the cross, the big cross. We were justified. And once you were justified, you have already the title to heaven. Understand? Once you are justified, once you are with Christ, you have already the title to heaven. Justification is an instantaneous work. Once you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you are already justified. All your sins in the past have been forgotten, have been forgiven. It's an instantaneous work when you accepted Jesus. So, it's the line of degradation. And once you accepted Jesus, you are now pressing toward the mark of the goal. What is your goal? That salvation, that gift which the Lord is preparing for you, for us. Okay. Oh, sorry. We have here the life of man before accepting Christ and after accepting Christ. This is the life of a converted man after accepting Christ. This is justification, while this is sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification is your fitness for heaven. You are living a life in this earth with the Lord. You cannot do anything without God, without Jesus. You cannot love your neighbor. You cannot love your enemy without the strength from Jesus. And that's why while you are living here with Jesus, you are being fitted for heaven. You have already the title. You have been justified. And while you are living, after accepting Christ, you are fitting, you have the fitness for heaven by faith. Both of these are by faith. You'll notice, after you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, while living, you're pressing toward the mark. Until you get the prize, you are living, this sanctification is a lifetime work. This is a big difference than this one because this is an instant process. But this one is a lifetime process. While you are living, you are preparing yourself to be fitness for heaven. Okay. The large cross is one. Represents the moment in which the sinner accepts Christ, repents, confesses his sins for the first time. Right then, Christ imputes to him his righteousness and forgives him. Thus, a new birth is produced and a new life of ascension toward perfection begins. Okay. This way, the process of imparted righteousness, which brings him closer to the ideal, is combined with experience of imparted righteousness, which reconciles him with God every time he falls into sin. You notice this line? I am pressing toward the mark, but while I'm pressing toward the mark, I fall. I fall. But I don't remain falling. You should not have remained falling, but you have to stand again. Okay? You have to stand again, and Jesus will hold your hand to stand again. But sometimes you fall again. The same process. But the Lord said that we have to overcome everything, our weaknesses, until we reach that point when Jesus will give us the gift of eternal life. Okay. My dear children, so don't be discouraged whenever you commit sin. Don't be discouraged, because Jesus is telling us, my dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We are so thankful. We praise the name of the Lord because he is our defense. He is our lawyer. He approached the Father, and because of his blood, God will forgive us our sins. Another one. Justification deals with your record in heaven. It changes this record from that of a condemned criminal to a free man with a perfect record, including your past life. It changes this record. Okay, the other one. Sanctification is heaven's ordained plan, whereby the free criminal, now a member of God's family, can continuously say thank you to God for this unspeakable gift of justification to an undeserving wretch. How does he do this? By every day allowing God to work in him according to his good will and pleasure. Justification. All our sins, when we meet Christ, when accept Christ, all our sins had been forgiven. Unlike sometimes people always remember the sins of his neighbor. But to God, whenever he forgives sins, it's everything erased. He does not keep the record of our sinning. He said, forgive, you have been forgiven. And sanctification is heaven's ordained plan, wherever the free criminal, before, during our sinful habits, sinful life, we are considered criminal. But when the Lord forgives us from our righteous unrighteousness, we are forgiven. We are now member of God's family. This is our experience. We had been criminal before the Lord, but he forgave us our sins. And that's why we are members of God's family. Amen? Sanctification, you may turn off this light, please. Can you turn off this light, please? Okay. Thank you. Sanctification is a daily justification. How is this? Justification is once you sin, but you meet and accept Christ, you are being forgiven. When they're pressing the war, when they're pressing toward heaven, sometimes we fall. And that is why every day is justification in our life, while we are going to the process of sanctification. Okay? Webster's New College Dictionary defines impute as to credit to a person or a cause. In justification, Christ's character is imputed or credited to the believer's account. Thus, his standing before God is changed. So, imputed righteousness is the Lord giving us the credit. He is giving us the credit of his righteousness. While the other one, and this is imparted, defines impart as to give or convey or grant from or as if from a store. In sanctification, Christ's character is imparted or conveyed to the believer and becomes a part of his person. This, his personality is changed. Born of this by faith, the Lord changed our lives, our sinfulness. He is forgiving us. And we are living a righteous life through Jesus Christ. What is justification by faith? It is the work of God in laying the glory of men in the dust and doing that which is not in his power to do for himself. Righteousness of men, according to Isaiah, were like dirty rags. We cannot be saved by our own righteousness. It's only by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Again, it is imputed to us, that is credited or granted freely without our earning it. According to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of our works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of Christ. By his blood, by being crucified on the cross, the Lord said, all our sins have been forgiven. Sanctification, it is imparted in a gradual, invisible process of Christian growth. It provides our fitness or preparation for heaven. This is nice. This is our time. While we are preparing for heaven, the question is, in our everyday life, are we living fitted for heaven? This should be our life day by day. Being fitness for heaven. Being sanctified day by day. Although we sin, but we are so thankful that we have Jesus who is ready to forgive us our sins. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Perfection is our goal. We can only reach that goal through Jesus by faith. The one who called you is holy. Like him, be holy in all our behavior. It's a statement. The followers of Christ are to become like him by the grace of God to form characters in harmony with the principles of his holy law. This is Bible sanctification. This work can be accomplished only through faith in Christ by the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. Paul admonishes believers, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Don't misunderstand this statement. Work out your own salvation. But we are doing our best because Jesus is with us. Without Jesus with us, we cannot work our own salvation. It is by faith that Jesus is working with us. Again, what is justification by faith? It is the work of God in laying the glory of men in the dust and doing for men that which is not in his power to do for himself. When men see their own nothingness, they are prepared to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Whenever we always live with Jesus Christ, we are ready to be clothed with a cloth of righteousness. Okay, I'm bringing to you this statement. Look at this. The man who attempts to keep the commandments of God from a sense of obligation merely because he is required to do so will never enter the joy of obedience. Is it clear? If you follow the Ten Commandments because you feel that this is an obligation, according to this, will never enter the joy of obedience. He does not obey. He does not obey. When the requirements of God are accounted a burden because they cut across inclination, we may know that the life is not a Christian life. True obedience is the outworking of a principle within. It springs from the love of righteousness, the love of the law of God. It means that when you obey the Ten Commandments, it is because it is the result, it is the reflection of your love to Jesus. I can do all things. It's not hard to follow. When you remember this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How good is perfect? All the goodness we will ever have is simply a perfect trust in Jesus. Through the marriage of Christ, through his righteousness, which by faith is imputed unto us, we are to attain to the perfection of Christian character. It's only through the marriage of Christ. The new birth, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you are experiencing being born again. According to this statement from Bible commentary, the new birth is a rare experience in this age of the world. This is the reason why there are so many perplexities in the church, in the churches. So many who assume the name of Jesus Christ are unsanctified and unholy. They have been baptized, but they were buried alive. How can that be? They had been baptized, but is still alive. Self did not die, and therefore they did not arise to the newness of the life of Christ. There are some people who say, when they're watching the baptism, and the hands was not baptized, was not wet, he said, I tell you, someday is going to back some people again. And that's why when I baptize some people, I'm making sure that everything has been down in the water. Down in the water. According to this, some people are being baptized, but they were buried alive because you had not fully given your life to Jesus. While we are here, being sanctified, we are living the life of Christ, may we always attain the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our lives. When the soul surrenders itself to Christ, a new power takes possession of the new heart. A change is wrought which man can never accomplish for himself. It is a supernatural work, bringing supernatural element, human nature. The soul that is yielded to Christ becomes his own fortress, which he holds in a revolted world, and he intends that no authority shall be known in it but his own. A soul thus kept in possession by the heavenly agencies is impregnable to the assaults of Satan. When you are with Christ, and I have dread something. When you are kneeling, praying, the enemy goes away. That is so important in the life of a Christian. Prayer is so important in the life of Christ. The only defense against evil is the indwelling of Christ in the heart through faith in his righteousness. Unless we become vitally connected with God, we can never resist unhallowed effects of self-love, self-indulgence, and temptation to sin. We may leave off many bad habits for the time we may part company with Satan, but without a vital connection with God through the surrender of ourselves to him, moment by moment, we shall be overcome. So it's very important when we surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. It means that the Lord is doing something for us and we are just following him. Here Peter sets before the steps, before us the steps of which Bible sanctification can be attained. According to Acts of the Apostles, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity are the rungs of the ladder. We are saved by climbing round after round, mounting step after step to the height of Christ's ideal for us. Thus he is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Look at this illustration. Peter sets before us the steps of Bible sanctification. It's round by round. Number one is what? Huh? Have you seen it? Number one is faith. Second is virtue. The third is knowledge. Then self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and the last is what? Love. Without this, it's very hard to be sanctified. And you can have this through faith, through Jesus Christ. You cannot have brotherly kindness without Jesus. You cannot have self-control without the power from Jesus Christ. These are the steps, round by round. Every day in our lives, we should have faith, we should have love, everything in this. Look at this. This pertains to church, to our church. The church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. So the people will not hear the gospel without us. It was organized for the service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. The church is the repository of the riches of the grace of Christ, and through the church will eventually be made manifest even to the principalities and powers of heavenly places. The final and full display of the love of God. We, every one of us, is God's instrument for the mission of this world. If you give yourself to Him and accept Him as your Savior, then sinful as your life may have been, for His sake you are accounted righteous. Christ's character stands in the place of your character, and you are accepted before God just as if you had not sinned. Believe in this. Christ is telling us you have been forgiven. Sometimes the problem is in us. We don't believe that we have been forgiven already. Sometimes we pray to the Lord, please forgive me from my sins, Lord. But you don't believe that you're already forgiven. You always have that question, have I been forgiven by Jesus? According to this, as if you had not been, you had not sinned. So let's have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let no one say, I cannot remedy my defects of character. If you come to this decision, you will certainly fail of obtaining everlasting life. The impossibility lies in your own will. If you will not, then you cannot overcome. The real difficulty arises from the corruption of an unsanctified heart and unwillingness to submit to the control of God. Look at this. I try to illustrate this, make this as an illustration. The wheel of faith carries us along the road of sanctification to the heights of victory. But the hub of the wheel is Christ. Christ is the Savior. In Him, our hopes and our strength are centered. Look at the wheel of Christ. So this is the hub. This is Jesus Christ. Without this, we cannot move perfectly. But when we have Jesus, we can be sanctified through our faith. It's a line of sanctification. Sometimes we fall, but still we stand with Jesus Christ until we reach that victory which the Lord is preparing for us, the gift of eternal life. Yes, this is one of my favorite statements from the Steps to Christ. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as truly thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let all my works be wrought in thee. This is a daily matter. This is not a matter for the week, but this is a matter daily. Every morning, consecrate yourself. This is a daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself for that day. Surrender all your plans to Him to be carried out or given up as His providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life unto the hands of God. And thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. Sanctification. When you have this every morning, you consecrate yourself to God. The Lord will lead you And that's why Apostle Paul is telling us, I die daily. I die daily. Seeing then that we have a great priest, great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in the points, what was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly through the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are all an unclean thing. All our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and all our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Only by God's grace we can stand before his divine presence. Things that we did, his righteousness now. Number one, current sins that had not been forgiven yet. Current sin. Don't hold your sins. Come to God and ask forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. The second thing, to be overcomers from weaknesses. Overcome. Because the Lord says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 3:21. And the third one, to have a good relationship with Jesus. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. We have been an enemy of Jesus, but when we ask forgiveness, we have a good relationship with our Lord. Again, this thing, don't forget this. We need Jesus as the hub of the will. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, you stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. My dear people of God, we need Jesus every day, every moment of our lives. Without him, by faith, it's very hard to live in accordance with his divine will. What do we need? We need Christ's robe, not mine, not yours. We need the robe of Christ. People of God, may we always experience, day by day, every moment of our lives, Jesus to be in our hearts.